Paul Nagel is in Birmingham and Myra is in Rochdale. Paul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You say you're disappointed, Paul, with the coverage in the
UK. Well, there isn't any coverage here. It'll probably happen when it happened, but the opposite now. It happened on the first instant that it was a possibility, but I've heard nothing or read nothing about it since then. Not a thing. The only coverage I've seen that was on Irish papers.
Nothing in the UK?
Nothing in the UK. They're more interested in the baby and what it's going to wear and so on and so forth than they are about our president coming to visit the Queen. That's how I see it.
This is gorgeous George, the Prince. Prince George in New Zealand. And what was the headline in the Sun? His Royal Harness.
The Royal Harness, exactly.
Harness. There's a row over whether his baby seat should be front, forward-facing or back-facing or something.
That would get more publicity here and whether the princess is wearing weights to keep her skirt down and stuff like that. That's about the size of it.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll get a bit more when it's happening.
Absolutely. Once Michael E. Higgins arrives, we presume, and Sabina and the entourage, we presume, they will get coverage. Myra is in Rochdale. Myra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Can I just correct you, Joe? It's a place called Shaw near Oldham, not Rochdale.
Okay.
It's not very far away. It's about 7 or 8 miles to Rochdale. But
and
anyway.
How long are you in the UK?
I'm in the UK since 1957. I started in London, Surrey, came back in Ireland for a year, and then we came to the northwest about 1965, Greater Manchester.
So you're well settled, Myra?
Never. I've only got one country still, and that's across the water. But you know, it's second best.
And why do you put it that way?
Well, I think that's just an immigrant's thing, anyway. You know what I mean? Once you leave home, you become a lot more, you know, you're a lot more interested in the culture and everything, and you get more interested in the history when you're there, and you take it all for granted. And I find that even when I go back, that people aren't quite as interested in the history and the culture as perhaps we and the Irish diaspora are, you know. That's just, I think that happens everywhere.
And so what do you know about the presidential visit? You would know a lot if you're interested.
Well, I've got to say, I listen to Radio Éireann all the time.
Okay.
I can get it on long wave here, you know, so I listen, and then I go on the internet and I read the papers and all that kind of thing, so I don't really kind of buy the daily paper here anymore. And then I'm very involved with the Irish diaspora in Manchester. And also with Irish Community Care in Manchester. We meet there every Wednesday and we do sandwiches and tea for the over 60s. And through that, you know, we get to know a lot about Ireland. It's like a little Ireland there on a Wednesday.
And Myra, is it easier? I see from your card, you say you remember when you saw the signs, no Irish need apply.
When I first came to London, I was only 17 and I was intended to do nursing because I had a couple of sisters that had already trained as nurse, was training in London after the war. And I went along, but I had to wait until I was 18. So in the meantime, I was living with my sister doing office work, and then I went into nursing. Didn't stay very long because I had met my husband, who had just come out of doing his national service, Irish from the west of Ireland, but he'd done his national service for this country. But I remember when my friend and I must say my girlfriend and I, when we used to go looking for flats, and you'd see something you really liked, you'd say, oh, gosh, that's lovely, and it's near the common. And then you'd say, oh, no, we can't. Why? Well, you see what it says in the bottom, no Irish need apply. And we just didn't bother. We just.
And what was the rationale?
Well, I mean, like...
Insofar as you can have a rationale for that racism. But
can you imagine, like, back in that time, 17-year-old, we weren't as kind of widely educated as the young ones coming from Ireland today. And we just kind of accepted it. And, like, London was very exciting. And we thought, well, we just, at that stage of the life, as a kind of really a teenager, you just accepted it. But I must say that from there, when I left nursing, I went into publishing in there near Waterloo, and I really, really enjoyed that period of my life. And I was the only Irish person, as far as I know, in that building. There were like maybe a couple of hundred, and I never had a problem. And all my friends were, you know, from London or Greater London or the home counties. And I never had no bother, you know, there was no empty Irish backlash then, definitely.
Paul, in your call, you say, when you went to the UK originally, no Irish president could set foot there. Why?
Well, I mean, when I came in 52, I can say similar things to Tamara, except that in the my experience of Birmingham, and that's been 62 years, I'm not saying I didn't see notices that said no Irish need apply, but I must admit that where I ever went and lived, which wasn't many places, but I still never felt that it was an anti-Irish to me. Now, this was a personal point. I mean, when we had the serious things of bombing in Birmingham, I worked in a shop factory and I was the only Irishman on the floor and not one Englishman, and they were all Englishmen in that floor, ever said called me an Irish bee or anything else. No. Never did I ever have a crossword in that situation.
Okay.
So there are different aspects of it. It probably depends different areas. But certainly, and I've been mixing in GAA since 1958, so, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I must admit that I love, just like Myra, I love going home. I'll go home three or four times a year, maybe more. I'll certainly always go home since 61 for the All-Ireland Finals and that kind of thing.
Okay, but, and as you say, the Irish diaspora are looking forward to the visit. Hopefully it registers them. And well, that's one of the aims that we heard this morning from the minister, that it does register in the UK, even in terms of Enterprise Ireland and all those angles that the government are talking about. Okay, Paul Nagel in Birmingham and Myra just outside Rochdale. Thanks indeed. 51551. Michelle is in Leash. 51551. Michelle, back to the president's visit and the view from the UK.
Yes, Joe. Yeah.
You're worried that gorgeous George is going to overshadow everything.
Well, I think there's no doubt he will, you know,
because
England, in the UK, they'll just be obsessed with George because they see so little of him. And, you know, the whole UK media, I'd say, is in Australia and New Zealand to photograph George and his mammy and daddy.
But you get the impression from here, when you look at the UK media, that in fairness, the British royal family, and there's quite a few of them, but that Most people in the UK would meet the British royal family. Sorry, would have occasions where they could meet the royal family. Is that not true?
Oh, that is true. Yeah. I did it often enough when I lived there. Yeah.
Well, who did you meet?
Diana, mainly.
And how often?
37 times, to be exact.
Who's counting, Michelle? How did you count?
I was counting.
You met Princess Diana 37 times.
Yeah.
And what were the occasions?
I would just find out where she was going on her engagements, and I'd be there with my bunch of flowers and a camera, and 9 times out of 10, she'd come over and have a chat and take the flowers, and I'd take a few pictures. And
did she get to know you?
She did. Oh, yeah. I remember one morning, one occasion, her saying, you know, have you no work today? It was a Tuesday morning or something. And I said, well, I'm a nurse, so I'd have days off during the week. And where are you nursing? And la, 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 la. And I remember as she walked away, she said, oh, don't ever lose the accent, and laughed. And then occasions, she'd say to me, you know, how's the nursing going? And I'd say, you know, I'm working wherever now, and this, that, and the other, and just things like that, you know.
And when you say you counted 37, did you keep a record?
Oh, absolutely. They're all logged in my albums. I have hundreds of photographs that I have taken of her. And, you know, they're all dated and where the occasion was, what she was doing there. There's a book in it, I think, Joe, if I knew how to go about it.
Was it just Diana that you were obsessed with?
Yes. Yeah. Now, I've met the Queen. I went to an engagement the Queen was at. I've met Sarah Ferguson a few times. I met Prince Charles, Princess Anne, Prince Andrew. I think that's all, yeah. The Queen Mother.
And you're a royal watcher, to say the least. A follower.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't. Yeah, not now. I mean, I'd still be very interested in them, but not to the extent of when I lived there and when Diana was alive. No, not anymore.
And what was your obsession? Is it fair to call it an obsession with Diana?
Yes, I suppose it was, yeah.
Was it a healthy obsession?
Of course it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
It didn't consume you.
Oh, I suppose it did a bit, yeah, it did a bit. My off-duty would tend to be worked around Diana's engagements on occasions, yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. But anyway, sir, I have the photos now to look back on, and yeah, it's lovely. I don't care really who thinks it's mad.
Yeah,
really.
Absolutely. And you said, by the way, is there anyone in your court? Yeah, I know, and you could detect a little bit of it in your accent there when you said now. You were living in the UK between 89 and 99. That afforded you the opportunity to meet Diana. And it didn't seem to be that difficult, was it?
No, very easy. Okay,
so they're around a lot. So why would Gorgeous George being in New Zealand, why would that overshadow our visit?
Well, I think because Gorgeous George isn't that accessible to, you know, the great British public. They don't see that much of him, really. They've seen only about three or four photos of him, you know, four different occasions, the christening, when he came out of the hospital, you know, three or four different occasions, that's it. And I suppose the fact that William is Diana's son and it's the repeat of Charles and Diana going to Australia in 1982 with William when he was a baby.
So he's Diana's grandson, isn't that your point
absolutely.
As well?
Absolutely. And I mean, apart from my crazy obsession, you know, Diana would still be lurking in the background the whole time. There's still a great fascination with her. You know, we saw it when George was born and it all went back to William's birth and Diana and what kind of grandmother she would have been and wouldn't she have been so proud and, you know, all that sort of thing. And I think it's unfortunate timing, you know, that the president is going to the UK when this big tour is going on, you know, from an English point of view. Like, it's a huge visit for us to see our president going to the UK.
Okay, stay with us, Michelle, because I have one more question to ask you, but I need to try and get a better line after this break. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Where were you on August 31st, 1997?
I was living in Gloucester. Living and working in Gloucester. And we'd actually been in the Irish Club on that Saturday night in Gloucester Irish Club. Came home at about 1 o'clock in the morning, turned on the TV, and there was rolling news that the car crash had happened. And I stayed up all night watching it. Yeah.
Did you go down? Did you go down to London for the funeral?
I did. Yeah. I went down on the Friday and was at Buckingham Palace at 6 o'clock the Saturday morning.
And you must have been. You must have been heartbroken.
I was heartbroken. Yeah. I think it was quite funny, really, because the phone never stopped ringing that day with people ringing me from everywhere because, you know, everybody knew that I was obsessed with Diana, and it was very sad. It was very sad, of course.
And did any pals go with you to the funeral, or you grieved alone?
No, I grieved alone.
Grieved alone. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm over it now, Joe.
I know. What do you think of Camilla? Looked around her and is meeting Prince Charles and Camilla. What do you think of her?
Oh, well, I think probably Charles should have married Camilla a long time ago. You know, before he had the opportunity in the late 70s, that's when he probably should have married her. But, you know, she's very much part of the royal family now, and, you know, they accept her, and obviously his children accept her, and that's, you know.
But that image you paint of Diana being light and a good memory and keep your accent and why aren't you at work, seems to be you liked her as well. It wasn't just from a distance.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I know she was a gorgeous person, and she was, you know, people talk about meeting Bill Clinton, you know, and how charismatic he is. She was the very same. She was exactly the same, and no photo could do her justice. She was absolutely stunning and just such an easy person, and there was no big airs and graces about her, and I think everybody or anybody who's ever met her would have said that. You know, there really wasn't. She was very ordinary, and she literally got down on the level of children and older people. And yeah, you know, and I mean, when she was at an occasion, just the happiness she brought to whoever she met, you know, was lovely for that 10 minutes or whatever it happened to be. And you know, I think it's, you know, it is very sad that she died so young, and she had a lot left to do, I think, you know.
And is there anyone, 37 times you met Princess Diana, anyone 36, 35, anyone?
Oh, gosh, there'd be people in England would have met her a lot more.
Oh, I know that, but for you, has anyone replaced Diana?
No. Everton Football Club, maybe.
Okay.
But my ambition, Joe, is to publish a book. I'd love to publish my photographs and kind of have the Irish connection of Diana. So, but I don't know how to go about it. So anyone out there listening and can tell me how I can do it, I'd be delighted.
And put up a few photographs first, you know, tweet a few photographs or put them up on your Facebook or...
I have.
No traction. Okay, fascinating story, Michelle. And you will follow, because the spectacle tomorrow... in the carriage
ride into Windsor
definitely. Castle will be fantastic. Will be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, definitely worth watching. It'll be a great occasion.
Okay,
yeah.
Michelle, thanks indeed. Michelle is in Leash. Susan, good afternoon.
Oh, hello, Joe. How are you?
You're listening to Michelle there and her obsession. She's called it an obsession herself with Princess Diana. Met her 37 times.
Yes, I know. I was so jealous when I heard her saying that. I would have loved to have met her only once. I just came in from the school run there and I was listening to her and, oh my God, just, you know, hearing the way she met her and all that sort of thing. I would have loved to have done that. I suppose I'm giving away my age now, but there's only about a month between myself and Diana in age. And my aunt was a nun over in England and some of the nuns had actually met Diana and she used to send me all the little tidbits on her and I've all the magazines and the videos and all that sort of thing. And I know she was, you know, she had her problems and all that sort of thing, but I think it just kind of made her more human. And I remember actually ringing in to RT to one of the other presenters when William got engaged and he gave her ring to Catherine because I just thought it was such the right thing to do. And, you know, yeah.
Do you follow the British royal family or do you just follow Diana and her children, if you know what I mean?
I would have an interest in them. Now, my grandmother, you know, Lord Mercer had two daughters, my mother and her sister. And my mother always said that my grandmother used to model them on Margaret and Elizabeth. They were very similar ages and that sort of thing. And they used to be dressed like them. Now, I wouldn't have an obsession like that. And I would keep an eye on the royal family. And I was looking last night, now before I went to bed, on the net at William. You know, I would always, because I suppose they're such close neighbours and that sort of thing, and I would always have a soft spot for William and Harry because of Diana.
And then, and George now, the grandson.
And George, he's lovely, yeah. But yeah, I'd always keep an eye on them.
And did you ever try and go to the UK to meet Diana?
No. As I said, my aunt, at one point, they're an Irish order in England and they were opening a church and they had met Diana opening some other function and one of the nuns approached her and asked her and for a few weeks there was a possibility that she would and I was there on tenterhooks ready to get over but because of the, you know, being the Church of England and that sort of thing, her mother-in-law being the head of the Church of England, and at that point, you might remember, there was a bit of a, they didn't know whether she was going to actually changed. Remember, her mother changed and they thought she might change as well. But so she never came down. But I would have loved to, and I have to say, Joe, I gave serious consideration to going over to the funeral. I was working in a public office at the time and I put a little black bow on my uniform going around.
Was this here in Ireland?
Yeah.
Oh, you wore a black ribbon in Ireland?
A little black bow on my uniform, yeah.
Okay, and anyone remark?
Yeah, a few of them did. Like that lady, and as I said, I wouldn't put myself, you know, in the same category because I never had the luck to meet her. But like when she died, like a lot of people rang me and said, oh, you know, did you hear the news? Did you hear the news? And none of them were surprised when I packed up and went over. I went over to Althorpe when it opened.
Oh, where she's buried.
I went over.
Well, what's the procedure there? Can you go in and go to the grave?
Oh, no, you write in, and it was kind of a lottery that year, and I was very lucky to have got it because it was the first time it was open to the public. She'd been buried in the September, and then they opened the grounds, I think it was in the June, and I went over with my mother and my aunt and my dog, all got into the car, and we drove over and stayed nearby and went in that morning. Mm-hmm. And you were brought on a tour, shown all her, a lot of her clothes were in a kind of, on display in the stables. And then you were brought to this lake, and there's an island in the middle of the lake, and the exact part isn't known to anybody, only Prince Charles, but there was a place for bouquet, so I brought a bouquet and I put it down with a little Irish flag on it.
But you're not allowed to go onto that island?
Nobody is allowed to go onto the island, only Prince Charles and the boys.
And is her grave marked on the island?
No, no, she's in an unmarked grave.
Why?
Because they were afraid of, you know, ghouls or people, you know, I suppose.
Yeah, okay.
Fine. You know, these kind of autograph hunters or whatever that would kind of disrupt us. But she was buried, I think she was buried around the 5th or 6th of September. And even on the coverage, like the coverage ended at the gates of Althorpe. Nobody, like Sky or any of the big BBC thing, weren't allowed in. All we were able to see was just a little small island. Now, you wouldn't be more than about 20 or 30 feet from it. It was like one of the little ponds in Stephen's Green, and you just stood there. And then they had this kind of, it was like, what do you call it? Do you know one of those, like a kind of a plasterwork thing, a cameo. And people were just putting flowers against it.
Okay.
And some people brought bouquets, and as I said, I just put the little Irish, like a bouquet, I'd got some flowers done to it.
So you'll be following the royal visit, the visit of President Higgins to the royal family in the UK. Will you be following Gorgeous George in New Zealand?
Yeah, I will. I'll keep an eye on him as well. Yeah, okay. I would, yeah.
And
I would indeed.
I see they brought a nanny with them to change the nappies.
I did, yeah. Although I'd say she's a nice girl.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think she'd
very down
to earth. I think she'd be a good mother, you know.
And he's already spoken about changing nappies, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he has. Oh, he's a lovely guy as well. I mean, I don't think either of them could have come from their mother without having the kind of feelings. I mean, she was so good. You know, I hope that child goes ahead and builds the book. I mean, it sounds really good. All the books that kind of went out of it, but there's none with anybody kind of with an Irish, you know, twist on it. So,
Your line is deteriorating, unfortunately, again. Thanks,
okay,
thanks,
Joe,
Susan.
God
thanks,
bless
indeed.
Now.
Stephen Vanston, you went over to the Queen Mother's funeral.
I did, Joe. I did. It was just one of those things I said I would do all my life because she was quite a character, and she actually had a very good time for Ireland, I think, in her years. I went over on a Ryanair flight 6:30 in the morning. Got a taxi down to the barriers, more or less, outside the cathedral, and the taxi man didn't charge me because he said if you come all the way from Ireland, it was £27 was a fare, and he said I'm not charging you for that.
Well done.
It was rather nice. And I would have a good time, and I'd say just to your researcher there. How nice it is that Sinn Féin are going to attend with the Queen. I'm Church of Ireland Protestant background myself, and I think it's marvellous really for this to be taking place. And
well, Martin McGuinness did say going to the banquet with the Queen would be a challenge.
It would, and I can absolutely understand.
What's the challenge?
Well, I put it this way: if you had spent a considerable amount of your life with the intention of trying to do harm possibly to the royal family or to maybe having done harm in some regard in relation to the IRA, you know, it could be somewhat embarrassing to sit there. But times move on and, you know, we've all moved on. And Sinn Féin have come a very, very, very long way. In fact, I'd personally say they've come a lot further than the Protestants who are stuck in the back of beyond up in the north of Ireland, who seem to you know, really find it hard to move into the 21st century. They've no idea what goes on in the south of Ireland. You know, I just really think it's a big thing for Ireland. And the fact that our president is there. We underestimate sometimes how important our president is. Last year I was in Bali and people said, oh, your president, this was the previous president, had visited Bali. And they had a wonderful time for Irish people simply on the basis that our president had been there and treated them with dignity and they treat, you know. So it all helps in the bigger picture of things.
Okay, points well made. And I think a lot of people would agree with you on the Sinn Féin point that they've come a lot further, it seems, than some Northern Unionist parties. And you feel that, okay.
I do. I mean, I remember also, it's a long time ago, but I don't know whether you remember a show you did on the Garvahy Road. You remember
I do indeed.
And I remember speaking to one of the lads who was going to camp in a tent. one of the orange men. And I was trying to explain to the guy on your show, I said, you know, things are not like this. I have lived in the south of Ireland all my life. I worked in the prison service. I have never, ever been discriminated against in any way. In actual fact, the exact opposite. People have gone out of their way to make sure that, that you're respected and for what you believe in. And, you know, it's jolly well time that the Protestants up in the north of Ireland got their act together and started to say, you know, things are have changed. And now, saying all of that, I think Irish history would show that a lot of the best nationalists and Irish speakers have actually come from the Protestant community. And I think people forget that as well.
Okay.
You know, our first president was Protestant, if I remember correctly, Douglas Hyde.
Yeah, but it's hard to believe that it was Mary Robinson who was the first Irish president, and it wasn't a state visit. Tomorrow was the first official, the first state visit. But Mary Robinson was the first Irish president to visit the UK.
Yes, yes.
Unbelievable.
It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Hard to believe.
And we're only, I think the royal family do come here. Prince Anne, Princess Anne, and people like that. She travels to Ireland quite frequently in relation to her horses. But the thing about Ireland is, you know, we don't put them up on a pedestal. They're there. They're part of the community when they come. We don't make a big fuss about them. And they can blend in and relax. So it's a nice place for them to come for a little holiday too, the royal family, I believe. And there's a lot of people in the south of Ireland who have very, very good time for the royal family. And a lot of magazines that publish photographs of the royal family, the top percentage sell is in Ireland, not in England. You know, we do have a big fan club, put it that way.
As we are hearing, indeed, Stephen. Thanks. And as you say, there was lots of Irish people at the funeral of the Queen, went over to the funeral of the Queen Mother. Marion, good afternoon. Thanks, Stephen, Vanson and Wexford. Marion, you say one of your daughters was obsessed with Diana.
Oh, she was. She was about 12 or 13 at the time. And when she finished all her homework at night, News at 10 used to be on the new TV.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, they'd have a special report every night. And she'd always watch it to see where, you know, if Diana was anywhere interesting, she would always appear on it. So, but when Diana died, she was after starting, it was her first week in secondary school, so we weren't able to go over to the funeral. But one of my brothers went over, and he got a lot of photographs and that. But the following year, Althorp was open to the public. So we spent, I think it was a whole day in January on the phone.
Yeah, but all you're doing, when you go to Althorp, Marion, you're doing is standing, looking across at an island and nobody knows where on the island she's buried.
I know, but it was literally a whole journey. We actually hired a motorhome to go there because it was out in the middle of nowhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And we were there. We got a whole tour of the house as well, and she was absolutely delighted. You know, one of my nieces came as well. And we went actually again 3 years after that, as well. We went
and
back.
And of the places President Higgins will be staying in Windsor Castle. Did you go to Windsor Castle?
Oh, we did. We went another year to Windsor, and we went to Eton. And I think she thought she might see Prince William. So, it was just.
And what do you think of Windsor Castle?
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, we got the whole tour.
Yeah,
you see, my mother was in England when she was young, and she was always. She's always by the Sunday Express when she came home, and she always cut out everything about the royal family, and I suppose that's where it all came from. We could have been doing worse.
Hmm? I brought my mother to Windsor Castle there about 6 months ago, and she's 85 in a few weeks now, and she's very fit. The staff stopped her at one stage and said to her, "Do you know from behind you're the same height and the same visage and the same shape as the Queen?"
As the Queen,
and she said, "Look over there now. There's the Queen over at her. She lives spends a lot of time
at
Windsor Castle, which is one of the reasons why I think people are honoured that President Higgins and Sabine are being asked to stay in Windsor Castle."
But anyway,
so you'll follow it with great interest over the next few days.
I was watching it last night on the on RTE, on the, you know, the news channel.
Yeah.
They had a rerun of the Queen's visit. So.
Okay, and there's a fascinating programme on RTE tonight at 8:30, isn't it? Tommy Gorman, the insider, about the background to that visit as well, which is fascinating.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people around our mother's ages were fascinated with the Queen at the time and Princess Margaret, because I think that's all there was really at the time. You know, my mother-in-law would say as well, they were all very interested and followed and cut out everything that they could.
So you think there's great affection here in Ireland
to
the royal family?
Yeah, Well, we would anyway, okay. You know. Yeah, okay. I know a lot of people wouldn't agree, but no, we weren't able to see
yeah,
her.
Yeah, but see, I just wonder how many people wouldn't agree, Marion, because I remember when the visit of Queen Elizabeth to Ireland was announced, and she was here, what, 2 years ago, and it was announced
yes.
nearly 8 months before, and we did one of our tele polls, and we had an enormous response in 10-minute text poll. I think we got about 20,000 calls, and the vast majority at that stage were totally in favour of the Queen coming to Ireland.
Oh,
so
yeah,
there's a lot more affection
so.
Here than sometimes we're
no,
given
to
believe.
No, it's just at the time when we went to Altorp, you know, say all my friends and that, they all thought we were crazy going somewhere like that on your holidays, but... You know, but we went to Legoland as well, and we went to
okay.
Alton Towers. So we went to different places when we okay. were when we were there. So
okay, I just yeah. I you know, my only remark in Windsor is I cannot see how the Queen gets used to those planes coming over every single
That's
minute.
That's it, all the
Unbelievable.
Time, isn't it? Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay, and yeah. I said it before. Whoever built Windsor Castle so close to Heathrow, I don't know
yeah.
why they did it. Okay, 51551. Well, Michelle is right about George capturing the. The images he's on Sky News at the moment, as he, I presume that's a recording of him landing in New Zealand. And there he is, centre stage, kicking and bubbling and gurgling as he's carried down the steps of the plane by his beaming mother and father. Let me go to Ruth Walsh. Ruth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You were living in Edinburgh during the bombings of the 80s.
I was, yeah. And, you know, it was quite unpleasant. I would nothing, I'd say, what the misfortune that Irish had to put up with in Guildford and Coventry and that in the 70s. But, you know, there was that slight remnant left of anti-Irish feeling. Somebody asked me for directions one day, and then with a curl of the lip, they said to me, oh, you're Irish, aren't you? Now, it didn't happen much, I have to say. But I think I'm very excited about this.
Mm-hmm.
I just think this is a tribute to all those people who left here in the 1950s, who got on boats, some of them very poorly educated, no education
yeah.
at all, and took off across the water. I mean, it's nothing to go to England now or to go to Scotland, but, you know, they went and they sent home parcels in the 1950s and they kept this economy afloat. And now, tomorrow, they're going to have... our Irish head of state,
mm-hmm.
who came from a poor background himself,
mm-hmm.
so he knows about poverty.
Yeah.
He spoke very movingly about going to the fair, not being able to sell the cattle and bring it back home to his aunt and uncle. And he's shoulder to shoulder with the Queen of England. I think this is just... I find the whole thing deeply, deeply moving.
And
on
Ruth,
so many
what will
levels.
It, will the yeah. what will the highlight, insofar as you can predict, but the highlight for you, will it be that carriage ride into Windsor Castle, then around the quadrangle, as the, and then they're met by the Queen and Prince Philip? Is that and all
the
spectacle
of
that? Yeah.
You know, as that unfolds, you know, and of course, most of all, you would hope for the light moments, the kind of Pat O'Connell moments, if you like, who has kind of really proved that, you know, that that they're human too, you know, and that being able to share that laugh. But it's not the pomp and ceremony, it's the equality is what appeals to me.
Okay.
The sense of that we are on an equal level, and that she, you know, she quite obviously likes Irish people. And isn't that lovely, you know, and we liked her. And, you know, to show that kind of deference and courtesy that doesn't involve us being subjects. We're you know, we're meeting as equal countries, and I think that is just. I never thought I would see this.
Well, that's magnificently put, Ruth. That angle on it, that here we are being right now. And again, I don't. You're not being patronising, but you say that is, for Irish people living in the UK, a lot of them went through hard times, as you know.
Yeah.
But to see what they're going to witness, hopefully over the next few days, and hopefully we'll get lots of coverage in the UK, is that phrase has been used as a coming of age of our relationship.
Yeah, well, that's it. And that wonderful woman
okay.
on the Council of State, Sally Mulready, and all the work that's been done. Because we can't forget, too, that some fell through the cracks, you
Absolutely.
Know, and didn't make it.
Yeah.
And we have to remember them, too. Some of them are in the famous Arlington Hostel in London that is they've allowed
okay.
them to drink there, that just got caught between two worlds and never got back, you know.
Okay.
We must remember them as well. They're ours, too. And
okay, and there'll be lots of of coverage over the next few days. Ruth, thanks indeed. That's Ruth Walsh in Edinburgh. Thanks, Ruth, because I just want to get Betty in. Now I appear rude. I don't mean to be to Ruth. But Betty Mitchell, you're reminding us that when we have our, I think it was 2 years ago, when we have our vote at the end of the year, the top 10 highs and lows, of that year, 2012, it was the visit of the Queen to Ireland. That's our listeners voted that the highlight of that year.
Yes, that's right, Joe.
And you're in Birmingham, so you heard that poll and you wrote to the Queen.
My husband and I wrote to the Queen, sent her a letter, and just said, Your Majesty, we think you'd be delighted to hear that you came top of the poll in Ireland as the best, the most voted person.
The best thing that happened publicly that year.
Got a beautiful letter back from her. Absolutely, quite a lengthy one as well. I'm wishing Paddy and I well and all our family and every blessing for the Christmas.
And did they remark on the visit themselves? Did she say she enjoyed the visit?
She said yes, how much she enjoyed her time in Ireland and that she was so pleased, for us to get in touch and let us know.
And for people who are maybe even slightly cynical about that visit, remember, I'm trying to remember the actual result of that poll. I know the Queen topped the poll by a long shot as the highlight of 2012. But remember, that was the same week that Barack Obama came to Ireland for the first time.
That's right. We said that she even topped Barack Obama.
We look back on that.
That was a wonderful visit. We watched it all on television.
That's how
here
impactful
in Birmingham.
That visit was. Okay, and you'll be able to watch everything over the next few days as well.
Exactly.
Betty Betty Mitchell in Birmingham in the UK. Thanks to you and all our callers.